Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. And I'm told, Joe, you are in the Carpathian Mountains today. How are you?
Bob, indeed. Hello from somewhere, my little secret hideout here in the Carpathian Mountains of Western Ukraine. And it's a great place to, it's great that Ukraine has these mountains in the West, you know, closer to the borders of Europe and NATO, sort of, you know, some lungs for the country, a place for people to have a rest in this time of war. And so after all the months I've spent in Kharkiv, in particular recently, it's nice to be in a place that, you know, is going to be pretty calm. We've had 4 days of attacks these past few days, in particular on the cities of Kharkiv, 30 miles from Russia, and on that seaside city of Odessa. So even after we talked yesterday, yesterday evening, there was yet another ballistic missile attack upon Odessa that killed civilians. There were two teenagers who were running for a shelter during the alarm. Obviously, people are there, are starting to run now because the attacks have been so intense. And they were killed by yet another one of these cluster munitions from Russia. A police officer was also killed. So that city of Odessa is enduring a lot these days. And, you know, it's a reminder that both of those cities, they are two Russian-speaking cities, Odessa and Kharkiv, and they're places that Russia really wants very much. You know, sort of like Smeagol in Lord of the Rings, Putin says, these cities are my precious. And, you know, I mean, Odessa has been the resort city for Russians up until 2014. Because it is such a lovely place. And so now that he can't have it, it seems that he's trying to destroy it. Today is also, it's May 1st in the Ukrainian language. May is called Travain, which simply means grass. Ukrainian language, again, very tied to its ancient roots. They don't use the Roman system for the months as do most, you know, as does Russian, as does English. So today simply is the first day of grass, literally, in the Ukrainian language. And I feel that here in the mountains. And, you know, yesterday I went running through a forested park in Lviv. It's called the High Castle. It overlooks the whole city, a small mountain in the city, full of the lush greenery. And as I'm running through it, I see a group of teenagers, probably about two dozen. And they, without any adults, they were going, doing the Stations of the Cross. There are these sort of monumental stone edifices tucked into the forest of the Stations of the Cross. And this week for the Greek Catholics of Western Ukraine is Holy Week. It's a different schedule from the rest of the world. And so Easter is approaching. But as I was running and I saw those teenagers, you know, going from station to station, kneeling and praying, you know, you just think of all, you know, everything that they face as kids. And yesterday I was talking with a friend in Lviv, an entrepreneur. He and his wife have two kids. And, you know, he was saying for the first time ever, he's never felt the thing about being Ukrainian was to feel free. And you know, this is what they, especially since 2014, from 2014 to 2022, if you were, every citizen of Ukraine was a king. You know, you if you had a plan, if you worked hard, you could achieve. And my friend said for the first time, he's starting to, you know, he doesn't feel that sense. And it feels like he's, you know, it's a very foreign thing for Ukrainian not to feel free. And one of the concerns is, you know, knowing that more and more people are going to have to be conscripted to fight in these intense weeks that you know await us here. And my friend said that his 7-year-old son was saying, he said to his father, "Dad, we either have to get the Russians to love us, or we have to turn them all upside down." And just, you know, Matt, I mean, every single kid here is keenly aware of the daily threat that everyone faces. And then this morning, when I was going to the train station, I was waiting for the train, and there was it was 9 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden, everyone in the station stood up, and the conductor or the station chief got on the PA system and started to say a prayer, and everyone was crossing themselves multiple times, and I realized that it is a daily prayer for the dead, for those who died in the war, and together everyone prayed, young and old, and then for a full minute there was everyone fell into silence. And on the PA system, you could hear in the Greek Catholic tradition that when it's a time of sadness and penance, you don't hear bells. You hear this wooden clapper, and they played the wooden clapper 60 times. A very, very somber feeling. And then everyone gets on with their day as the train arrives. But there, so there, there's this, you know, moments of reflection and heaviness from 7-year-olds to old people as everyone continues to you know, sort of steel themselves for what comes ahead. Meanwhile, we have today, I'd say we have some of the first indications that these long-range attackams that are arriving in Ukraine because of the passage, the bipartisan passage of that support a couple weeks ago, it seems that they are now in use. There was a Russian training facility on occupied Ukrainian territory in Luhansk, and it seems that attackams have hit that facility. So we're starting to see some success, perhaps, thanks to this new support from the United States.
As important as it is to hear you talk about the weapons and when there are bombings and casualties, and we get that on the news, but the story from the train of what people are doing there, it's so remarkable, and it does take you there and helps us understand what life is like in Ukraine. You don't get that on a lot of news reports. We appreciate that, Joseph. And you mentioned stone edifices, and it reminds me of a picture I saw in the paper today, and you're such a history buff. I know you'll have something to say about that. It's a photo of parts of these stone statues being removed, and it says here, workers dismantle a Soviet-era monument on Tuesday, symbolizing an agreement signed in 1645, a pledge of allegiance by Ukrainian Cossacks to the Tsar of Russia. The structure was installed in 1982 as part of a memorial celebrating the friendship between Russia and Ukraine. It's incredible to think about that. Just 1982. Wasn't that long ago, was it?
Well, that was when they were still under the yoke of Sovietism. And, mm-hmm. you know, in the same way that when the Irish were, you know, when Dublin was controlled by London, you know, they put statues to English heroes in Dublin City. And so this is really the same story. That treaty from the 17th century, you know, the Ukrainians being here in the middle, sort of the wild east of Europe, they had enemies from the east and the west. And now most people say that was a mistake, but they signed a deal with Moscow for some kind of protection. And ever since then, they've been trying to get away from that yoke. And, you know, the Putin and the Kremlin and Russians like to say, you know, in 1945, when the Nazis were defeated, that the Russians were part of the liberation. But for everyone who lived behind the Iron Curtain, that, you know, that there was no liberation. It was trading one tyrant for another. And so Ukrainians now are really, you know, they hate everything from that time period. They could tolerate it before Russia started bombing them every day, you know, just keep the monuments up. But now that Russia is engaged in these heinous attacks, you know, there's a great impetus here, not only to take these monuments down, but never, people really to try and never to speak Russian ever again, even though for many people, that's the language they grew up speaking.
One final item, an email from, let's see, Stan K. He's writing about the movie Civil War. We've been talking about that here. And he said, let me read this. Bob, the movie's journalism theme reminds me of our hero Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. How about that? Do you get to watch any movies there, Joe?
I mean, their movie theaters are open, and you can watch movies dubbed into English. A lot of people do as a break. I mean, maybe I should see that movie. It's probably relevant in some ways, but I think life here feels like a movie every single day, both in the good sense, like the superhero feats, but also in the difficult sense. So I personally don't watch movies really right now.
Yeah, I don't think you need to go escape to a movie like Civil War. You know, maybe a comedy. No, that would be.
I'm escaping as soon as we finish talking today into the forest for some peace, and maybe I'll jump into a river.
Travel safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.